I introduce you to BAPA 1.0, which is a robot of the god Ganesha. I'm very happy that this machine was able to find her way to the exhibition. This exhibition, which is entitled When Machines Are Dreaming, which is a very evocative title, especially regarding what I will talk about today. Because dreaming is supposed to be a very unconscious act. But there are many ways to look at the problem of dreaming applied to machines. You can consider that machines could dream if they reach a certain stage of evolution, where they will start dreaming, be able to dream. And it's maybe not the case. But you can consider that there is another scenario where you could consider that machines would dream to escape own condition as a machine, which is for me a more interesting scenario. And there is a third scenario, which is to consider that, in fact, most of the machines that surround us have, unknown and bizarre kind of behaviors that we are not able to understand. They have what German biologist used to call, Jacob von Uexküll, used to call an Umwelt, so a world of our own. And I think most of the machines that surround us have their own Umwelt that we are not able to understand completely. So we are facing many situations where, even with our own computers, where we don't know exactly what's going on, and there is a kind of hidden world behind the machine. If dreaming is a kind of unconscious act, and if you consider that there are like all these machines that surround us, which have very strange and very bizarre behaviors, we could maybe consider that they are actually in a state, already in a state of dreaming, and they have this capacity. I don't know, it's just for your meditation, a few ideas regarding the way we could fit the robot that we talk about today in the exhibition which is there. So you can see the machine which is exhibiting in the next room. I will talk about it's a curious experiment that we did with Zaven Paré, who is a French artist and designer. It's an experiment in robotics and in theology as well. And we call this experiment the Ganesh Yourself experiment. So I won't surprise you if I say that we are more and more confronted to machines which sometimes have a human form, but sometimes don't have a human form, and sometimes are formless. And more machines, more and more complex programs involved, and more theories or prophecies, which are sometimes a bit delirious, transhumanism, singularity, if you heard about these theories, and sometimes theories which are less delirious. And anthropologists have been looking at robotics for quite some time in various parts of the world. And I've realized that it's not a homogeneous world at all. And the way robotics is practiced in Japan or in India, etc. Sometimes you find some very alternative ways to look at robotics. And in 2008, we did with Zaven a study in Japan, which was about this robot that you must have seen maybe before, is the Geminoid. It has been made by a Japanese roboticist called Ishiguro, who decided to make a copy of himself to study human interaction. So it's a teleoperated robot. So there is somebody sitting in the other room behind a computer, and the robot is able to detect face movement and to reproduce whatever the controller does. And obviously, it doesn't work perfectly, and the machine has her own behavior, and sometimes it's completely unexplainable. And we had to face many situations where actually we didn't know if the controller was operating the machine or if it was the robot which had some kind of mechanical behavior, etc. So the more and more we are surrounded with machines, the more and more we complicate our world, the more and more we have to face this kind of situation. And we wrote a book with Daven, which is called The Day Robots Will Eat Apples. It's in French, which was looking at the experiments made in this robotic lab. And a robotic experiment is always a very special temporality. You always feel that you are taking part to something that is called the future, and something which is a bit more concrete than the virtual, because the machine is there and you are really interacting with it. Something like a living hypothesis. It's not completely there, but it might be there. And sometimes you don't know where you are. And you are here in this lab. We were in something that the Japanese roboticist called Masahiro Mori called the Uncanny Valley. I'll tell you a bit more about the Uncanny Valley before talking about the Ganesh Yourself projects and showing you some images, because it's a very interesting theory about robotics. Masahiro Mori wrote this article in the 70s, which was very important in the history of robotics. His idea was very simple. He observed that the more you were making a robot which had a human form, the more you were creating empathy. But there is a moment when the robot is looking too close to a human, where you create the reverse feeling, which is repulsion. And that's what he called the uncanny valley. So you have the familiarity that goes up with the human likeness in the graph, and then a sudden drop into something that he used to call the uncanny valley, which is a bit the Freudian concept of the Unheimlich, if you heard about it. So when you have something which is too close to a human form, it creates repulsion. And he took the example of a prosthetic hand. If you shake hands with somebody who has a prosthetic hand, you might be very surprised because it's cold and it doesn't have the same texture as a human hand. And Mori used to warn the roboticists, telling them, you should be careful when you make humanoids, because you will be one day always facing the problem of the uncanny valley and how to go beyond it. And in the extract I showed you, obviously we are in the uncanny valley. And the problem is how to go beyond it. Ishiguro calculated that there were only 12 seconds where actually you could perceive the machine as human, the first 12 seconds. And then you suddenly realize that it's a machine because it has like mechanical loops, you know. And his whole work was about how to extend this confusion. So how to make the uncanny valley disappear in a way. And for him, it was by programming human behavior in a machine. But we realized with Zaven doing our own experiments that in fact, there's no way you can forget that it's a machine. So if you want to have a relation with a robot, you have to accept that it's a machine. In a way, you can consider that to go beyond the uncanny valley, programming human movement into a machine is a bit of a failure, and it's something which is a kind of dead end. But Mori proposed another solution that actually interested me. He said you should look at images of the Buddha. Because if you look at the Buddha, so that's for him, it was like synonymous of an artificial creature. I mean, it's a sculpture made by humans. But you have immediately a feeling of empathy and sympathy. And you consider him as an entity, which is like separate from yourself. And it gives you a kind of like a nice positive feeling or energy. And for Mori, he wrote a book which is called The Buddha in the Robot, where actually he argues that the best way to make robot acceptable is to make them spiritual and to like get some inspiration from theology and from religion. So it's very interesting for the Ganesh Yourself project, because it's exactly what we did with Daven. We decided to build this robot, which is teleoperated. So it's a robot of Ganesha, and there is an operator, a controller who is behind, and whose face is projected inside the robot. And you can have a conversation, obviously, with the operator, with the machine. I'm a big fan of Philip K. Dick. I don't know if you know Philip K. Dick, the writer of science fiction, American writer who wrote the script of Blade Runner and films like that. Dick was very interested in theology and I mean science fiction, and he wrote something that was very interesting for me. He said that God was the only theological entity that could be found everywhere in the garbage and in the stars as well. And he imagined that every man could carry a part of God like a walkie-talkie. And he made the hypothesis somewhere else that God could be a kind of cybernetic entity, a kind of system of artificial intelligence that could send signals via unexpected channels. But when we designed the robot with Zaven, we were actually thinking about Philip K. Dick walkie-talkie, the idea of a portable God that could allow God to teleport himself anywhere. At first, we wanted to make a God speaking, a machine with which it is possible to have a conversation. But since we had no money, we thought it was more interesting to make this low-tech, very low-tech interface that gives the people the possibility to put themselves in the place of God and experience the difficulty of this impossible point of view. So anyone could have his face visible inside the robot through a webcam and pretend to be Ganesha in a conversation or consultation. So when we arrived in Bombay, we did not know at all how the device would be perceived. But surprisingly, the first day, as we were making a film, we had to do a ritual to bless the project, like any other project. And when the officiant came, he asked us, "Where is your idol?" So we pointed our finger towards the machine, and the officiant performed what we call the puja, so a ritual, without any question. So we then organized a casting to choose impersonators, and a lot of people came. Wise men, not so wise men, activists, ecologists, feminists, wanted to experiment with the machine to convey messages. And we even had an astrologer delighted to give consultation via the robot, because the interface was, he said, revolutionary to create another type of relationship with the clan. We'll see an extract later. So we finally opened a kind of cabinet that we named Ganesh Yourself. And since it was during the Ganesh Festival, a festival where people actually make idols of the god Ganesha, and then they have rituals, and Ganesha is supposed to absorb in his stomach all the problems and misfortunes of the world. And then people take the idol to the sea and immerse it. So all the sorrows and misfortunes goes away into the sea. during this festival, we were actually roaming with our machine in Bombay, setting up our cabinet in the open air, in the streets, in different areas of the city, even in slums, in fishermen villages, and people would gather, and quite often new volunteers would show up and try the machine. So not everyone was making an acceptable god, of course. It was the interesting aspect of the experience. But it was surprising to realize how people would play the game, and I will show you some extract. Nobody took the robot purely and simply for a god, but everyone tried to test the ability of the person who was behind to convey the voice of God. So the conversations could last for hours on various topics, metaphysical, social, political. I give you some example of questions. Since you are a god, do you believe in duality or non-duality? If you are God, how do you intend to solve pollution, corruption, traffic? So the discussion often began with, I warn you, I do not believe at all in this thing. I believe in God, but I do not believe that he can be there. Or if you are God, why did you take this form? Or I do not believe in all that, but since you are here, I will still ask you a question. So the condition for an interesting dialogue to happen was not to accept the device as it is, it was the contrary. And the more you were skeptical, doubtful, the more interesting the interaction was. Whenever a person sat with a robot, a kind of spontaneous test would take place that is quite comparable to with a Turing test. The Turing test, for those who don't know it, is a mythical experience in robotics, which is inspired from the imitation game. You have an individual in a room who exchanges messages with a machine in another room. The goal of the individual is to guess whether the machine is a man or a woman. And the goal of the machine is to do everything possible to fool the human about her identity. So robotics made an extensive use of the Turing test. But a very intriguing thing about Turing was that the question of artificial intelligence was, according to him, a false debate. The answer was obvious for him. Machines were not intelligent beings. Rather, we had to ask ourselves in which conditions a machine can confuse us on our true nature. And after Turing, robotics has been a long story of deceiving ourselves, including the roboticists themselves, with machines that we know are incapable of sensitivity, but can fool us in experimental situations, until now. Now we can see the Turing test as a variation of a more widespread test, a more wild form of experiment, and that I would call the Dickian test, because Dick always played with the idea that we are surrounded by doubtful entities that we have to detect, but we are never sure of what it is and what their abilities are. We must exercise an exponential form of doubt or reflexivity. We can say that we are engaged in a Dickian test each time we have to determine whom or what kind of entity we are dealing with. In other words, who is there, and if there is something, an entity, an agent, what is the range of possible behaviors and reactions of that thing? We do it every day. The more we are surrounded with machines, the more the question who is there and whether there is someone or not becomes a problem. Behind your computer screen, you might suspect, and you may be probably right, that there is a network, perhaps other entities, other machines, other people. In the same way, the Ganesh Yosef experiment, in this experiment, we can consider that the problem is to know in what conditions someone can make you believe that he is God, like in a Turing test. But in fact, it's a partial reading of the experiment. For most of the people, the question was a more Dickian dilemma. Does this machine change or improve the nature of my doubt about the existence of God? Does it change the way I can apprehend it, speculate about it? What kind of, I would say, techno-punk circuit do I have to make sense of its presence? Am I dealing with a human who claims to be God? Am I dealing with a God taking the form of a human? Is it a divine machine operated by a human? Or God possessing a machine through a human? Or a human possessed by a God through a machine? This is a troubling question, but it is precisely the difficulty to decide which makes us spend time in a dialogue. So the person is truly engaged in an activity of suspicion and hypothesis making to make sense of the spectral possibilities of the machine. Whereas in a classical Turing test, you have a choice, a restricted choice, between being a machine or a human, a man or a woman. Let's say that in a Dickian test, you have a larger range of possibilities. You can suspect anything, even something unknown. And in this case, you have at least three entities into one, a human, a machine, and the shadow of God. And it multiplies the possibilities of playing. But you have to test this hypothesis and finally end up making your own theory. So the question, who are you, or are you true or false, which is the classical Turing test, is quickly replaced by another one, which is, I know that you are a machine, but what kind of scenario and dialogue can we develop with you that ordinary idols do not permit? And to answer, you must evaluate the capacity of the human who is behind to generate some kind of wisdom or principles that could be acceptable as divine. So you will see in the extract, we will have a very intense cycle of question and answers that take place as soon as the interlocutor decides to sit with the robot and stay for a while. No matter who he is dealing with, Ganesh himself, a simulacra controlled at a distance, a fake wise man, an hybrid or a composite form of all this, what matters after all is the kind of answers you get, the capacity of the entity to give innovative solutions to problems, metaphysical, political, social, and to generate some kind of clairvoyance effect. A real debate can then take place, and even fights, as we will see. The interlocutor doesn't hesitate to express his own point of view, sometimes tries to convince the god that he is wrong, teaches him his role as a god when he thinks he's not doing it properly, and sometimes feeds him with new principles. So I'll show you these extracts. It's about 10 minutes. That's fine. And then we have questions. So the entire film is projected in the other room. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes. It was on Arte last year, and even this year during the summer. So I had to choose because I couldn't show you the entire thing, just to give you examples of the kind of interactions which were possible with this machine. Shall we switch off the light? Maybe?
It's fine.
Ah, there is no sound. Problem of sound. There was sound before, but
your sexuality is. What your sexual...
Yes?
Can you see me?
Can I see you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, my first question.
Two yogas given in Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
One is Jnana Yoga and one is Karma Yoga.
Yes.
Which do you feel is the superior one?
One is Jnana Yoga and one is Karma Yoga.
Yeah.
Which you think is superior?
Yeah.
All the paths are same, sir. You do Jnana Yoga, you do Karma Yoga, it will lead you to the same thing, so salvation.
Is it possible for one to practice Jnana Yoga in today's world?
Of course it is possible, everything is possible, I believe.
See, because Karma Yoga is doing one's work with full dedication and sincerity.
Yeah.
And Jnana Yoga is something different, that you have to be indifferent to everything which is happening in around you. And you just have to concentrate on the fact that God is eternal.
Yes, see, the principle is same. I mean, you have to be attached and detached at the same time. Yeah. That is the thing. Okay. You know, you cannot be too attached to a thing that you cannot detach yourself from it. That is the balance I'm talking about.
Okay. My next question is that, do you believe in Advaita principle or Dvaita principle?
Again, it's the same thing for me. Everything is same for me.
Okay. That means Advaita.
No, I mean, it's also the other.
So you believe that God is present in everyone?
Yes. I would not come in the form of a robot otherwise.
That is correct. That is very true. That's what my final question.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for array of questions.
Yes, yeah, it's a mirror. You are looking into a mirror, sir. What I'm talking is you, your voice bouncing back at you, sir. You know? So your good thoughts is what is making it happen. There's no God here.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I have a question, Amit sir, again. As the uncle who just came down, he said that people make passes to meet you. But some people also say you need a true heart to meet a God.
There cannot be copyright on Lord Ganesha. God cannot be patented.
The machine, since it is an invention, then the machine can be a subject matter of a patent. But not the God and not the human which goes inside. God is God.
This was the first extract. Second.
I love to disturb people. By disturbing them, I can make them think.
Hi Ganesh, I've come to see you since a lot of friends of mine told today you are going to tell me, are telling people about their lives and what their future will be like.
Welcome my friend.
Just to be very clear, seriously, I don't believe in this. I do believe in you, but not in knowing anybody can tell me what my future is. I do believe I make my own future the way I live my life.
Silesh, my friend, listen to me one thing. Stop your ego.
Okay.
It is not taking you anywhere. You are not impressive at all.
Okay.
Stop talking negatives.
I never talk negative. I've always said yes for anything in my professional life. Like, that's my job, that's what I'm supposed to do. Everybody is running in this world towards money, so am I.
Okay, now you want your answer, right? That something, some good points for you for to success in your life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to me, my friend. First of all, I want you to take care of your mother, your family. You are not taking any responsibility of your family. Secondly, there is a lot of negativity in your house. You are not a responsible person.
I would like to answer that. I do take care of my family. Yeah, I don't need to give any money at home because my dad still runs a family. and he never takes money from, like, we are three brothers, we never gave a single rupee at home. And about managing my finances, again you're wrong, because I have bought a lot of property with whatever money I've got. So I don't know how that came up that I don't manage my finances. I have a lot of investment. So how do you think that I'm not managing my finances or I don't take care of my family?
That you will come to know later. Right now, you are working, you are making good finances. It will be turned around. You will have a lot of health problems related to your stomach and your bones problem. You will have a big problem, and there will be a lot of accidents. There will be fractures, and there will be a lot of problem in your blood also.
Like medically, if you're saying that with any guy who's thin and tall will always have problems with their bones and joints. So I don't think there's nothing new that you're telling me, which I don't know.
No. You are absolutely wrong. I don't require all these things to know that you're tall or you're short. No. I'm reading your horoscope, your karma.
Okay, so does this keep changing?
Yes, it keeps changing.
So are we talking about fate or luck? I don't think so. Being God, you should discuss luck with humans.
Why not? Luck is very important aspect, my friend. You are lucky, that's why you are earning money, you got finances. That luck you got because of your karma. You have done some good things in your past karmas. That's why you are enjoying this life. You got a house, you know.
I agree to it. I have my parents' house, I bought my own house. So that's why it was like, your statement was contradicting when you said that I'm not managing my finances.
No, my friend, now listen to me. There's a big problem coming in your way. It will be your finances, related to finances, your health problems, some kind of legal problem will be there. There will be problem from your brothers also. There will be a lot of problem from your family life also.
So if you naming all of these, I don't think so there's any other problem left in anyone's life which is not coming to me in the news. There's nothing left. The only thing after this left is death. So you're saying that I won't have death, but all the remaining problems in the world will come on me.
That time you'll be alone, you know, my friend. Understand what I'm saying? I'm talking for you. I'm concentrating on you. You'll be left alone.
No, by leaving alone, you means my family will leave me alone at that moment. That
yes.
Is the moment when the
problem yes. You will have a lot of problem. You'll be legalized. You'll be on jail. You'll be have finance problem, bank problem, loan problem. You have a lot of problems will come in your way, my friend.
Can you give me a specific period? Next 10 years, next 20 years, next 30 years?
Next 5 to 7 years.
What is the remedy for it?
Okay, would you... this is a very wonderful question. I am very happy you are asking for a remedy. Will you do it?
Well, if I think it's possible and sane enough for me to do it, I'll surely try.
You have to do a Shani Darshan on Saturday.
Okay. Do we have time for the last extract? Yeah.
A male, nor either of those definitions. That is beyond you.
See, I think the world has too many smart people. Smart people want to jump into the conversation and say, my answer is smarter than yours.
Ganesh yourself is about immersing yourself into something bigger than you. Each Ganesha needs a cause. Each cause needs a Ganesha.
Wherever there is impossibility, I have to be there present.
Namaste.
आप सभी मानव द्वारा की गई है इसका समाधान भी आप सभी के पास है
समाधान तो हमारे पास है पर मैं जानना चाहता हूँ
उन सारे बच्चों को यही सलाह देना चाहता हूँ कि जब
खुद को। भगवान ने ही मानव को बुद्धि दी है कि ये सब करना है। कोई भी इंसान कंप्यूटर लेके पैदा नहीं हुआ, वो लेके पैदा हुआ है दिमाग, और उसी दिमाग में ये सब ऊपर जाती है। तो वो दिमाग, वो ब्रेन वॉश करने के लिए क्या किया जा सकता है? पापा सोच रहे हैं, आपके चेहरे के हाव भाव बता रहे, पापा परेशान हो चुके हैं। तो गणपति पापा ने जो परशु हाथ में धारण किया हुआ है क्यों लिया है? दुष्टों का संहार करने के लिए।
जी हाँ।
हाँ, तो हम तो उनसे यही विनती करते हैं कि ऐसे दुष्टों का संहार करने के लिए आप तो धरती पे नहीं आ सकते, तो हम जैसे को पावर दे दो, तो उनका क्या करना है वो कम कर देंगे हम लोग। भगवान ने ऐसा किया क्या? सृष्टि निर्माण करके जाओ भाई, तुमको जैसे जीना है जियो, तुम्हारे तरीके से जियो। नहीं ना, जन्म देना और मृत्यु देना जैसे भगवान के हाथ में है, वैसे ही बुद्धि देना भी भगवान के हाथ में है। और वो अगर वो भगवान के हाथ में नहीं है, तो ऐसे करप्टेड लोगों को सजा देना इंसानों के ही हाथ में है। और वो इंसान अगर भगवान मुझे बना दे, तो ऐसे करप्टेड लोगों को मैं ज़रूर सजा दूंगा। और मेरे लिए एक ही सजा है, मेरे हाथ में अगर रिवॉल्वर हो तो मैं उनको उधर ही ठोक दूँ।
अच्छा, क्या प्रश्न पूछना चाहते हैं?
थैंक यू।